Highly Sticked by Jedusor, read by Marianas. Yes, Caner, Sharpie saying as Johnny sits down next to them with a beer. It would indeed be gay to measure your teammates' dicks to find out which is the biggest. I didn't ask if it would be gay, says Caner. Obviously it would be gay. I'm asking how gay it would be. Like, gay enough that they wouldn't be willing to do it? There's a basketball game in progress on the TV. Johnny doesn't care about either of the teams playing, but he watches it intently anyway. He's learned by now that Caner views all forms of attention as encouragement. It depends on the measuring process, says Siebes, plopping down on the floor and leaning back against the couch. I think having another dude touch their junk would be excessively gay for most of the guys. But if you have each guy measure his own, maybe with someone watching to make sure they don't cheat, that's sort of straddling the border between manly and gay. Straddling is definitely gay, says Sharpie. Siebes grabs a peanut from the bag on the coffee table and throws it at Sharpie. The measurements wouldn't mean anything anyway, he says to Caner. It's not soft when you use it, and that's when it matters. We could... starts Caner speculatively. That would be really gay, Sharpie interrupts. That goes beyond gay and into, like, hardcore porn territory, agrees Siebes. I was gonna say we could get a girl to do it, jeez. Caner steals Johnny's beer and takes a sip before giving it back. Anyway, we can pretty much guesstimate based on what we've seen in the locker room, right? Hazer probably takes the gold. I'd say either Haas or Taser for second place. Are we still evaluating the gayness of this? Asked Siebes. Because, dude, if you've been looking that close... Caner kicks him, right as Dunks comes in with another six-pack. Hey, says Dunks, why are you trying to damage Siebes? He called me gay, whines Caner, kicking him again. Hey, says Dunks, not cool, Biscuit. Siebes scoots away from Caner's flailing foot. He was, like, critiquing our dicks. Ah, says Dunks. I see. Caner holds up his middle fingers at them. Fuck you both. That would be really, really, begins Sharpie, and Caner tackles him. Johnny keeps his eyes on the anti-smoking commercial currently playing on the TV, even though the hole in the old lady's throat is really fucking gross. He's hoping they'll move on to another subject soon, because this one is making him uncomfortable, but Caner is about as good at dropping things as a pit bull with lockjaw. I bet there are tons of girls who'd be willing to measure hockey player boners, Caner says, when he's given up trying to mess up Sharpie's hair. Any of the ones who show up to games in Hawks gear with their tits hanging out, probably. He grabs Johnny's beer again. Caner's a douchebag. It's not like this is news. But fuck it, Johnny's temper isn't news either. He snatches the bottle back. Shut the fuck up, would you, he snaps. There's no reason for anyone to care about anyone else's dick size unless they're fucking. Just stop it. Caner gives him a weird look. If I heard that from somebody I hadn't seen naked, I'd think for sure they must be hung like a hamster. But I know that's not the problem here. What crawled up your ass? Leave it, Caner, cuts in Sharpie, who actually has more social skills than a Roomba. Johnny slouches down on the couch and goes to take a sip of his beer, discovering as he does that Caner's drunk almost all of it. Asshole. Johnny probably would place around second or third if, God forbid, Caner's dumbass plot ever came to fruition. The original dumbass plot, that is, involving measuring themselves flaccid. He can't be 100% positive, since he hasn't seen the other guys hard, but he's pretty damn sure he'd win a contest of erections. Not that he'd want to. There are very few things about himself he would less like his team to know than the size of his hard-on. He meant what he said. Unless he's banging a person, they don't need to know what he's packing. Especially if they're the kind of person who can't let 2 minutes go by without giving him shit about his workout habits or his drink preferences or how frequently he smiles. If he handed Caner information like this, he would never, ever hear the end of it. So going off the handle at him about it for no clear reason, probably not the wisest move. You have a buddy with a tiny dick who gets touchy about it, guesses Caner. You once got into a dick-measuring competition without realizing all the other dudes were porn stars? You actually have a tiny dick, but you wear a fake one on top of it? This is Johnny's fault, obviously. Caner just gets to him, in a way no one else ever has. He gets under Johnny's skin and throws a massively incompetent dance party there, and if Johnny's in a good mood, he can ignore it for a while, but it never lasts. And once Kaner finds a way to get a reaction out of him, there's no peace. "You used to have a tiny dick, then it grew," says Kaner. "Or you bought penis enlargement pills from a spammer and they actually worked. Do those actually work?" Everyone else has gone home, in varying states of sobriety, and Kaner's the only one still parked in Johnny's living room. Johnny eyes the mess on the coffee table, trying to decide if he has the energy to clean it up before he crashes. "You secretly wish you had a tiny dick." "Yes," says Johnny, not even bothering to pay attention to which ridiculous theory he's embracing. "That's it. You got it. Good job. Scram. I gotta get to bed." "Bullshit," says Kaner. "Nobody wishes they had a tiny dick." Johnny kind of does. Not tiny, maybe, but more normal-sized. It would have kept him out of a few embarrassing situations as a teenager, for sure. It's tough to casually hide a boner that barely fits in your pants. "You used to have a massive horse cock," says Kaner. "You had it surgically shrunk because it got in the way of your puck handling. And it's a sore spot because you wish you could have kept it, but you can't even prioritize getting laid over hockey." Maybe if Johnny actively shoves him out the door. "I'm not leaving till you tell me." Kaner digs his fingers into Johnny's couch, like he thinks that's going to stop Johnny from kicking him out. Johnny sighs. "Whatever, you can sleep here if you want, I guess." "Dude," says Kaner, "I'm seriously curious. I won't tell anyone, swear to God." "You've never kept a single one of my secrets," Johnny points out. "I've never promised to keep one before." Johnny glares at him. Kaner waits for a moment. When it becomes clear that Johnny isn't giving in, he says, "Fine, then I'll keep guessing." "You have some kind of weirdo opposite dick that shrinks when it gets hard instead of..." "For fuck's sake," snaps Johnny. "No, okay, my weirdo dick gets really big when it gets hard, and it's not that big a fucking deal, and I'm sick of people acting like it should matter. Now shut up and fuck off." He can tell that he's gonna regret that. In about 8 seconds, a giant steaming pile of regret is gonna land on top of him, and Kaner is never going to let him dig himself out of it. "It's not that big," says Kaner. "Is it? Really? Show me." 2, 1, splat. "No. You're bullshitting," Kaner decides. "Or maybe you're just deluded." Regret. So much regret. Johnny really wants to end this conversation. Or not have had it in the first place. That would be even better. But he'll settle for ending it. It doesn't matter whether Kaner believes him. He's gotten his answer. He's won his stupid drive taser around the bend game with himself. There's no reason for Johnny to try to convince him he's telling the truth. But it's Kaner. Like always, with Kaner, rational thought gives way to stupid, pointless chest bounding. "I've gotten feedback," says Johnny. "What, like chicks moaning about how big your cock is while you're fucking them?" Kaner gives Johnny an unimpressed look. "They all do that." This is, in Johnny's experience, true. He's pretty sure that his sex partners have been generally honest on the subject, though, while Kaner's are just... the sort of people desperate enough to sleep with Kaner, which really has to require a certain amount of disconnect with reality. "You know I've had sex with guys, right?" Johnny asks. He's alluded to it a few times, but he's not sure whether Kaner didn't notice or didn't care. Kaner shrugs. "Who hasn't?" Johnny stares at him. "Are you serious? After all that shit you gave Siebes for calling you gay?" "I wasn't being gay," grumps Kaner. "There's nothing gay about scoping out the competition. Having sex with dudes is inherently gay. Looking at their junk is not." This is Kaner logic. Johnny knows better than to try to reconcile Kaner logic with actual logic. It's like trying to play hockey on a baseball diamond. It just doesn't work. "Uh-huh," he says. "Well, I tried to fuck a guy one time and it, wouldn't fit. He said he'd, you know, seen a lot, and that had never happened before. I don't think he was just trying to flatter me." "Probably not enough lube," says Kaner wisely. "Sometimes you have to spend a while loosening up. My mom used to garden, right? And there was this one zucchini..." Johnny gets up and goes to bed right there in the middle of that sentence. The mess and Kaner's bullshit can wait until morning. If Johnny had realized that Kaner was anything but 100% straight, he probably wouldn't have started jerking off while thinking about him in the first place. Jerk-off fantasies are supposed to be comfortably unattainable, the kind of stuff you think about because you know you're not going to get it, so there's no pressure to compare it to real life. It's okay to think about fucking teammates if you're sure you'll never actually fuck them. He wasn't even attracted to Kaner originally. It was just that he got Johnny riled up, got his blood pumping, and it was easy to trick his body into mistaking irritation for arousal. Then somewhere along the line, his body fell for the ploy a little more thoroughly than he intended, and dragged his brain with it, and he somehow ended up under the sincere delusion that Kaner is hot. It's a problem. It's more of a problem now that he knows Kaner has fucked guys. Enough of a problem that he should probably quit the fantasizing cold turkey. He knows it'll be tough, because he's a hockey player and he understands the power of habits. But he's also Jonathan Toews. He has a lot of practice glaring the universe into cowed obedience. No, says Crawford patiently, pulling off his sweaty socks. If a girl was doing it, though, persists Kaner, there wouldn't be any other guys around, totally heterosexual. No, Crawford repeats. What if it was a girl you were already banging? Nothing she hadn't seen already. No. What if... Hey, Kaner, butts in Shawzy from the other side of the locker room. If you can get Captain Sirius to let you measure his dick, I'll let you measure mine. If anyone else did that with their hands, it would be called a clap, but Johnny is positive that Kaner actually just high-fived himself. Deal. Crow, what do you say? If I get Taser on board, are you in? No. Crawford shoots Johnny a smile of commiseration. Johnny twitches his lips minutely in return. He can't let Kaner see him being amused by this. Johnny's halfway through his post-game shower when Kaner sticks his head in. Johnny pauses, shampoos sudsy hands in his hair, and looks at him questioningly. You're not jerking off, Kaner says, like Johnny has intentionally wounded him somehow through his failure to masturbate. Johnny finishes lathering up his hair and rinses it off. When he resurfaces to discover that Kaner hasn't left, he says, No, Kaner, I'm not jerking off in the communal showers. That would be gross and rude, and I'm sure none of my teammates would ever do it. Kaner ignores this. Why won't you let me see? Johnny dunks his head back under the spray and keeps it there until Kaner gives up and leaves. Jerking off while not thinking about Kaner is working out fine. It's kind of boring, but Johnny's okay with boring. He can do boring. Life would be a lot more pleasant for him if it had a little more boredom in it, to be honest. So he thinks about boobs and asses and cocks and just in general terms, no faces attached, and it gets him there, and that's the point. Normally he rubs one out in the shower when they're on the road, but after Kaner's peeping Tom act, blatant leering Tom, whatever, he's not risking it. So he hasn't had an orgasm in 2.5 days when Kaner looks up from his laptop on the hotel bed and says, What are you into? Johnny keeps repacking his bag, which he does every time he takes anything out, even though Kaner mocks him for being so much of a neat freak. Hockey, he says. Video games, I guess. Is this an interview? Are you going to start asking whether I wear boxers or briefs? I know what kind of underwear you wear, you fucking nudist, says Kaner. I mean, sex stuff. What turns you on? Are you making me a profile on some dating website or something? Asks Johnny suspiciously. Kaner snorts dismissively, like he didn't do that to Sharpie 2 weeks ago. Dude, just answer the question. Johnny zips up his bag and sits back on his heels. I don't know. Hot people being naked, I guess. You're so fucking sad, man. Kaner shakes his head sadly. No secret kinks? Nothing interesting at all? There can't possibly be a good reason for him to want to know this. Johnny thinks about it anyway. He's never paid much attention to any of the really weird stuff. The whole dominatrix shtick with costumes and shit definitely isn't his bag, although there are some aspects of it that hold some appeal. Handcuffs, maybe, he says thoughtfully. I kind of like it when the other person takes the lead. Usually in bed it's kind of expected that I'll be in charge. Wonder why that is, Captain Control Freak, Kaner mumbles, typing furiously. Okay, here we go. Dudes with big dicks and handcuffs. Come here. Johnny should probably have expected that. I'm not watching porn with you, he says. Kaner turns the laptop around. Now you are. There's a video playing on the screen. Johnny gets an eyeful of an oiled-up guy being cuffed to a headboard before he hastily turns his back. You realize, Kaner, he says tightly, if your super clever plot succeeds and I end up with a boner, I'm still wearing clothes, so you won't be able to see it. If the plot succeeds, you'll end up so worked up you won't be able to resist getting it out, Kaner explains. You're giving that shitty porno way too much credit, says Johnny. There's another few seconds of overblown grunting from the laptop speakers, then it cuts off. Yeah, probably, says Kaner. I'll see if I can find a better one. You have fun with that, says Johnny, and escapes to hang out in Dunks and Seeb's room. Johnny tries thinking about being handcuffed when he jerks off. It doesn't do much for him at first. He can't really picture the scenario. It doesn't show up clearly in his head. Then one time he gets himself to the edge and makes himself stop, holds his hands above his head and pretends he can't touch himself for a few minutes before finishing himself off. And wow, does that work. He still doesn't think about Kaner, especially not Kaner walking in on him in the shower or wanting to watch porn with him. If he lets himself go there, he's pretty sure there'll be no turning back. Kaner comes over to Johnny's place at 7 in the morning on a Sunday, tromps into his bedroom, sits on his feet, and says, "I'll shut up about dick measuring contests if you let me see your boner." "Muh?" Johnny says, because he's not awake. Giving Kaner a key to his place was clearly a mistake. "Swear to the hockey gods, I will never bring it up again to you or anybody else, ever, if you whip your dick out and rev it up right now." Johnny's reasonably certain he has never before heard Kaner utter a coherent sentence at this time of day. Not that he's entirely sure that one was coherent. Rev it up? What the fuck? He rubs the crust out of the edges of his eyes and thinks, fuck it. He'll take it out, Kaner will see that he wasn't lying, and it actually is that big. They'll avoid eye contact, shit will get awkward, Kaner will leave, Johnny will go back to sleep, and they'll act like it never happened. Except, of course, it doesn't go like that. Because, of course, Kaner isn't just curious about the size of Taser's dick. People don't go around obsessing over how to get a glimpse of other people's genitals unless they're actively into those other people. This is utterly obvious, but not until after Johnny pushes down the blankets and pulls out his cock. He gets it in his hand, he starts stroking himself, he looks up to see how Kaner's reacting, and that's when he has the moment of clarity. Kaner wants to fuck him. Duh. "Whoa," Kaner says. "It really does get huge." His eyes are fixed on Johnny's crotch, and his lips are shiny wet with spit. Johnny glances down. He's not completely hard yet, but he's most of the way there. "Give it a minute," he says. Kaner watches, spellbound, as Johnny fists his cock. He can think about Kaner now. He can let his mind focus on the idea of Kaner watching him do this and fucking loving it, because that's exactly what's happening. Fuck. "That's about it," Johnny says. He can get harder than this, but it doesn't grow any bigger. "It," Kaner says. His mouth is kind of slack. "Is that all? Jesus, Taser, can I..." "Yes, fuck yes," says Johnny, and Kaner kind of tips forward and lands with his mouth on Johnny's dick. It's completely unsexy. Johnny nearly comes then and there. Kaner is really bad at blowjobs. Nobody can really handle much of Johnny's dick in their mouth. But even taking that into consideration, Kaner is really fucking terrible. It's almost funny, until Johnny thinks about whether it might mean he hasn't done it before, and then it veers right back around to hot. God damn it. Kaner is one of the most flawed human beings in the world, and somehow Johnny's brain is managing to interpret every single one of his personal failings as a turn-on. It shouldn't be possible to be this stupid about someone who's so fucking awful. Kaner lets Johnny's dick slide out of his mouth and says, "I want that in my ass. Way more of a challenge than Mom's zucchini." God damn it. "Condoms and lube in the drawer," says Johnny, and tries very hard not to kill him. Kaner insists on doing the lubing and won't let Johnny help. Like Johnny wants his hands in Kaner's grotty ass anyway. He watches Kaner open himself up, two fingers right away, and then three for what seems like forever. Then finally his little finger slips in too, and Kaner is rolling over to straddle him. "It'll be easier to take if you're lying down," Johnny says. He hasn't done this with a guy, not successfully, but that's how it works with girls, and the muscles probably aren't that different. Kaner rises up on his knees a little. "No way do I trust you with that thing," he says, reaching down to grab Johnny's cock. "We're doing this my way." Johnny knows it's an act, knows Kaner is just catering to what he said about wanting the other person to be in charge. But that's hot, too, that he's trying to give Johnny what he wants. He tries to stay still as Kaner slides down onto the head of his cock, but fuck, it feels so good, and his hips jerk up without his permission. Kaner fixes him with a glare. "Don't you dare move a muscle," he warns. "Sorry," Johnny whispers. He lifts his arms up, crossing his wrists above his head, and focuses on not moving. Kaner grins, but doesn't say anything else, just bears down. It takes forever, way longer than it's ever taken with a girl, but it's tighter than it's ever been with a girl, too. Johnny closes his eyes and stays still, lets Kaner do it how he wants, and finally, finally, he starts moving for real. "Fuck," says Kaner. "Fuck, fuck," and he hasn't even been fucking himself on Johnny's cock for a minute when he's lifting his body up and off. Johnny starts to ask what's wrong, but Kaner is already lying down on his stomach and bodily dragging Johnny on top of him. "I know you wanted me to be in charge. I'm sorry. I'm too selfish," Kaner pants. "Pound me into the mattress right fucking now," Johnny swears and slams back into him. Kaner is shameless in bed like he's shameless everywhere else, like shame is a distant fairy tale concept that has no place in his reality, like all that matters to him is what feels right, and what feels right in this moment is Johnny's dick. He writhes and moans and curses at Johnny, eggs him on, begs for it without ever actually asking. It's fucking hot as hell. He flails around so much that Johnny doesn't even notice that Kaner's coming until after it's over. He feels the wetness on the sheets and realizes what happened, and Kaner looks over his shoulder and meets Johnny's eyes, skin sweaty and hair all over the place, and Johnny thrusts one more time and comes inside him. They sprawl out over the wrecked bed to cool off. After a few minutes, Kaner says, "So I have a new second favorite penis of all time." Johnny shoots him a weak thumbs up. "Glad you like it." "I gotta disagree with you," says Kaner, "about how you kept saying it wasn't a big deal and it shouldn't matter." "I think it's a big deal. A motherfucking huge deal." "Guess it comes in handy once in a while," mumbles Johnny. There's a pause. Johnny's almost fallen back asleep when Kaner says, "I really, really, really want to measure it." Because he's a liar and a dickbag, and Johnny kicks out at him until Kaner tumbles off the side of the bed, laughing his dumb ass off. The end.